dishonoring to God. And we cannot expect that human beings will be able to continue forever with impunity to be able to thumb their nose in the face of God. But he's been patient. Isn't he patient? He's patient with me. Maybe you don't have as many problems you have to deal with as I do. But I'll tell you, he's been mighty, mighty patient with me over the years. And aren't you grateful for his mercy and for his grace and his kindness? Because we know how imperfect we are. We know the clay feet that we all have. We know that we're not perfect. By the way, that's never an excuse. Somebody says, well, I'm not perfect. Well, that's no excuse. It's a fact, but it's not an excuse. But the mercy and the grace of God is such that even though we are all sinful, even after we become believers, we disobey God in a variety of ways. Nevertheless, his mercy and his love is extended toward us so that when we come to our senses and when we confess our sin and when we forsake it and repent of it, then it says he will always forgive us. And he will always cleanse us from all unrighteousness, the way Josiah cleansed the temple and cleansed the environs of Judah. He will always cleanse us of our filthiness as well, if we only bring it to him. My dad, who didn't become a Christian until many years after I had become a Christian, and I worked so hard to try to share Jesus with my dad, took him to Billy Graham meetings, and he would sit there and make fun. And finally, I gave up for several years. I'm ashamed to have to admit that I gave up on my own dad, but I gave up trying in that sort of intense way that I was doing in those early years, until he became a Christian in another state. Somebody going door to door knocked on his door, and he was ready. He was ready. The Holy Spirit had prepared him on that occasion, and he was ready to believe. But my dad said to me in the early years, when he was so resistant to the presentation of the gospel, he said, "You don't know what I've done." He said, "You don't know how bad I have been." I said, "That's the point of the gospel, Dad. The gospel is not for saints. The gospel is for sinners who become saints, and yet who remain sinners while they're in this world. No excuse, Jack." And so what we have to recognize is, there but for the grace of God go I. But for the grace of God went I at different points in our lives. And so Paul would say to the believers, the new believers in Ephesus, he said, that such were some of you. And he described all of the abominable behaviors of the pagans. He said, such were some of you. Some of you had come out of that paganism. Some of you had been living that lifestyle. He said, such were some of you. But by grace you're saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so Paul nails him, puts the finger right on. He said, you know who you were. You know what you did. But by the grace of God, you were saved. That's where we all are today. Having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations, idolatry, service to Satan, and the filthiness of her fornication, all of the immorality that goes along with the worship of Satan. And on her forehead a name was written. We'll close with this. Mystery. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. Saddam Hussein once said about the battle before it was engaged in the first war, he said, we're about to have the mother of all battles. This is the mother of all harlots. That is to say, the false religion, the apostate church that was prophesied in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 by Paul, that the false prophet is the high priest of, will be the high priest of, at that very time period in the first half of the tribulation. All of that is going to be promoted, false worship and false living, at the very, very same time. Mystery. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. People will be seduced into abandoning the worship of God and worshiping at the idol image of the Antichrist. That abomination will take the place of all of the other abominations that we took a sampling of, and as we read Second Kings chapter 23. One final abomination, the image of the Antichrist. One final cup of filthiness, all of the practices that will be promoted by the apostate church in that age during the time of the tribulation will take place. This will be an attractive religion. It will be a syncretistic, and it'll have everybody underneath the tent. and it will be an immoral religion. And it will be, Tom, a blasphemous religion, for it will speak against God and against his morals and against his laws and against his commandments. All of that will be done in the name of the worship of this God. Not a pretty picture. Mystery. By the way, some have argued that mystery stands for the title, Mystery Babylon the Great. Others have argued that mystery refers to the fact of the name itself. Why is it called Babylon the Great? And that's explained to us in verse 7, which we're not going to get to today. So I'm going to say that mystery in this case, while it's printed with the title Babylon the Great, is probably belonging with the word name. And on her forehead a name that was mysterious, was written. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. Finally, verse 6. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. We'll talk more about this next time, but this bloodbath, this pogrom against all believers that will take place during the time of the tribulation, promoted by this false church, will be a bloodbath and a pogrom unlike any that has ever been seen in the world. And it is what is talked about when we're going to look at this in some other passages by those who were martyred and say, "How long, O Lord, before you avenge our deaths?" Remember that when we looked at that earlier. We're going to look at that again next time. But the idea is that it will be an attempt to obliterate, to wipe out all of God's people. It will not be 100% successful. He won't be able to get rid of the two witnesses. He won't be able to get rid of the 144,000. There'll be those who won't be caught in the net. But nevertheless, it will be well nigh successful, well nigh complete. This martyrdom of believers at the end of the age. It's going to cost. It's going to cost to be a believer. What does it cost us today to be a believer? I'm late for lunch. I'm late for... Oh, that's a big cost. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer.